Let's go, Rider Nation.
Welcome to the Piffles Podcast, your Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Thanks so much for joining us here this week. As always, you got me. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
And take two.
Shh. Nothing no. Really.
Hey, I think we do this perfectly every time.
Yeah. It's not like we didn't waste 10 minutes trying to get someone's internet working for the last 10 minutes.
No, nothing like that happened. And nobody mentioned Stockholm Syndrome, so I don't know what you guys are talking about. This is your Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Thank you for listening on your favorite podcast platform, watching on YouTube, watching on SaskTel Max TV on demand. We appreciate it. Sorry about being delayed by one day. Steve, you had more important things to do. What was more important than the Piffles podcast? I need to know this.
I'm worried about his commitment to this
part-time.
Everyone knows Steve has no commitment. No commitment. None.
No commitment. My wife tells me my anniversary is more important. So I'll
ask. You listen to her.
Yeah, that's how I've stayed married for 13 years. Yeah,
that's a really good
She's point, always actually. Right, and I listen. Yeah.
Yeah. You've done well.
That's not with a 10-foot clown pole. Nope.
Always listen to your wife, kids. That's the lesson of the day. So anyway, we're a day later than normal, but we get an extra day of training camp to talk about, and that is a good thing because things were heated at training camp on Wednesday, and we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. Piffles Podcast, of course, brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. You can give us a follow on X at Piffles Pod. I'm at Real Alex D.
I'm at Safamod.
And as always, I do not need nor want your pity follows at Greg on Sports. And yes, that is contractually in my rider.
I was going to say, take two. We're still doing that part. It is in the contract that you have to say that. And if you're not around, we have to say
for him when he's not here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have very much we have to say on the show. That's the one that
is one of them. Yeah. And we already got the Simpson one out of the way. I said 10-foot clown pole. We're off to the races already.
Well, you know what? Tonight's already off the rails. Let's just jump right into it. Let's get to the opening kickoff. So going into this last week, I was excited. Last week, we talked about rookie camp. We had some cuts after that. Nothing major, surprising, anything there. But then the day of training camp, I'm getting ready. I'm writing up the Riderville Roundup that we put out every single Sunday, recapping the last week in Riderville. I hit post, and I look, and all of a sudden, rider roster moves. Okay, well, I'll edit this. I'll add the rookie or some of the cuts that were made. Wait a minute. Jalen Edwards Cooper was cut. I did not see that one coming at all. I don't think anybody did as fans. I don't think media did. We found out.
Jamie Nye didn't. He was very excited about him. We were talking about it last week.
Oh, yeah. And Jamie Nye, also one of the rookies that he was really high about was Mark Fields the second. He was one of the rookie camp cuts. So Jamie,
enough of the Vanstone curse. We now have the Nye curse.
Oh, 0-2. If you want your favorite rider player to be cut, just tell us who it is or tell Jamie who it is, and he'll come on the show and jinx them.
Or Steve will buy a jersey.
Can he jinx either way? We can do one of the two. Can he jinx Chris Streveler for me? Is that possible?
Only if he becomes a rider first.
Hey, if it means he's cut afterwards, that's even better.
Oh, just your face if Chris Streveler ever were to become a rider. Oh, my goodness. That'd be worth
it. Also, thank you for being such a big supporter and fan of the CFL and myself personally.
I was waiting for that, actually.
Why did I do that to myself? That was all on me.
Yeah, that's you.
Oh.
Anyway, Jalen Edwards-Cooper cut on Sunday morning. We found out, failed his physical, has a dislocated shoulder. The door is not closed on him, though, which to me is a good thing because this is a guy that I was really excited in the defensive backfield, but now this completely opens this competition, which we thought, you know, maybe going into free agency after his signing, there was only one spot available. Okay, well, maybe there's three or four spots available, possibly all five in this competition now. And that's just, that's nuts to me.
It's a lot, but it makes sense. When you go from back-to-back seasons where you can't win after Labor Day, no one should feel comfortable in their position. And it doesn't matter if your name is Roland Milligan or Jonte Williams, hell, Jaden Dahlke. It doesn't matter who you are. You need to show out in a new head coach, to a new defensive scheme. You need to bring your best every day in training camp. And it sounds like it's a blast. I kind of wish we were there this year.
I really do. I wish we would have sent somebody up to cover training camp. It always, for the last few years, it's felt like a formality. Like it's just the guys running through their paces before they're off to their next bowling team event. And all of a sudden now it's a legitimate thing. Like it feels like it's an event. It's something that fans are going to want to go to. There's an atmosphere to it. But I love seeing a wide open defensive backfield. I mean, you can probably pencil in a couple of guys in there once they're healthy. But beyond that, when the team went 0-18 to close out the last 2 years, and a lot of that on the defense's inability to stop anything, go for it. Let's see it. And I have full faith in Corey Mace to find his guys. So there's no penciled in starters on this roster.
All right, well, we'll talk about training camp and all the energy that's in there in just a second. We'll just go through some of the roster cuts because some were actually made on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, officially posted on Tuesday night, but wasn't released until Wednesday. But just the rookie camps and some of the cuts, receiver Joshua Bunton, running back Kennedy Brooks, Jackson Serralo Brown, Canadian linebacker, Jalen Moody, linebacker Marcus Murphy, Elijah Ponder on the D-line, and Mark Fields, the second defensive back. Those were all cut after rookie camp. Ryan Berta, offensive Canadian lineman that the Riders signed just a few weeks ago, actually. Mm-hmm. He was cut here on Tuesday night. Defensive back Cole Coleman, running back Jerry and Ely, defensive lineman, linebacker hybrid Roman Lee Harrison, receiver Braden Johnson, Kendall Watson as well too, cut. A little bit of a surprising one, but maybe not necessarily. Defensive back Jamar Johnson and linebacker / defensive back hybrid again, Mark McLaurin. He was the guy that came over from the Edmonton Elks from last year. So we're out of the cuts like that, besides Jalen Edwards-Cooper being the big one, was there anything that surprised you guys there?
I thought Jerry and Ely came in with a little bit of hype. Like he's got good speed, a little undersized, but I'm thinking based on who Coach Mace is, I think he wants that smash mouth blocking running back, and that's why they went out and got AJ. So Jerry and Ely might not be the running back for this team, but I think he's still has a future in this league.
I would have gone with Ely as well. All reports out of camp was that he was doing fairly well. He was fitting in. Now it does sound like potentially there's an injury situation there that might be why he was shown his release for now. But he was the big one to me. Kendall Watson, a little bit of a surprise only because he was one of the few guys, you know, on the lower end of that depth chart coming back this year that maybe had a chance to move his way up, but clearly they didn't like what they saw and moved on.
Couple other roster notes as well. The team did sign offensive lineman Daniel Johnson, their offensive lineman they took in the fifth round of this year's draft. So they have their entire draft class under contract, except for the first round pick, Kyle Hergel. So lots of opportunity for these guys to get in as rookies. And Corey Mace said, if you can you're going to make this team on special teams. That's going to be a big thing. So if you're out there earning your way there, you have a good shot at the roster. And then global defensive lineman that they just drafted, Tyrone Tulenny, he was put on the retired list. So we hardly knew ye. They posted the video of Corey Mace being so excited to FaceTime this guy and bring him in, and the guy just retires. So, yeah.
Pro football isn't for everybody, especially if he was at USC, I think he was, wasn't he?
Yes.
Like he was at a big-time football school, and maybe just the CFL just was like, nah, I'm good. Like, that's going to happen, unfortunately.
Now, the biggest surprises with roster moves to me over the last, well, almost week, is all these suspensions. Well, I don't want to say suspensions. Put on the suspended list. Guys that just didn't report to camp. Wide receiver, Daz Newsome. Okay, that's going to be a tough spot to crack anyway. But five offensive linemen were put on the suspended list over the last week. Gerald Hawkins, Jonathan Hubbard, Sadarius Hutcherson, Brandon Council, all guys that we thought were going to compete for the left tackle position, the wide open left tackle position. Dimitri Emmanuel as well moved to the suspended list. He was more of a guard. But we went from having eight American tackles, a couple left and most of them right tackles, to now having four, which, I mean, going into a game situation, I don't think is a terrible thing because you can evaluate them a lot better. But that competition got pretty short, pretty quick.
Well, especially when you could already say Yoshi Hardrick is locked into one of those spots. And we had guys fighting it out. That was the spot everybody was looking forward to, was that left tackle position, and how they finally brought in guys who are legitimate left tackles to fight it out for it. And all of a sudden we're down to one. And it nowhere.
Well, we knew Brandon Council wasn't coming back. Like, that was very obvious. He wasn't coming back. They're just putting him on the suspended list just in case whatever the job he has at Auburn probably doesn't work out, or he gets that itch and goes, oh, he might come back. Let's face it, Gerald Hawkins probably was like, it's not guaranteed, I'm not coming.
I'm not worried about that. That was the guy that was penned in as the starter last year without any competition and then got hurt immediately. First off, he didn't even report to camp.
No.
The team went into scramble mode, and then he showed up, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're our starter. And then, what, less than a quarter in to his CFL career?
Yeah.
A couple minutes, a couple drives, whatever it was, and he was done. Yep. Like, this guy wasn't – he didn't take a pro snap in four-plus years.
No.
So, I'm honestly, not Aaron Rodgers' Jets career has been more prolific than Hawkins as a writer.
So that leaves us Hubbard, Hutcherson, and Emmanuel. So who knows? Some of these guys might be having passport issues. They don't really let us know why they're not reporting. It's not like it could be a very honest situation on why they're not here. So I don't think we need to hit the panic button. But what I do like about it, they moved Ferland out to tackle quite a few times apparently already, trying him out. So we might get our four Canadians on that offensive line, and that is going to be awesome.
There's a lot of potential that they could do. If they go with four Canadians on the O-line, you have two, possibly three receivers. All of a sudden, you don't need to have a safety. You know, you can have Jaden Dahlke in the meantime while Jackson Ford is out, move to a linebacker position kind of thing and get him closer to the ball. You can go with the three or two
Canadians. Rotate him and O'Clair. Like, that'd be so – I would love that on defense.
Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities here with this team and what they have for Canadian depth. But just going back to the left tackle, I'm sure Blake is probably option C right now. Ferland would probably be option B, but I like that they're giving him the reps in training camp. Just be ready and we can see him out there. But it sounds like to me, Trevor Reed is the guy he came out with the ones first day of training camp. He's the only true left tackle left on this team. Jonathan Hubbard was the other one, but he didn't report. So everybody else is a right tackle. And not that they can't move over, but I'd like to see a guy who is a true left tackle, was a true left tackle in college recently as well, too, even in mini camps in the States with the USFL, the XFL, the NFL, doesn't matter, whatever. And to me, Trevor Reed kind of has the leg up on everybody else right now.
Say what you want about the offensive line. That footwork is different depending on which side you're on. So if you're used to jab stepping one way, it could easily cross you up and then you're getting your quarterback killed, especially on that blind side.
Well, and from what it sounds like, it's between Reed and Jordan Tucker for that left tackle spot. I don't know that they're going to look at Ferland or Blake outside of an emergency situation where they need to, if none of these guys shows they can do it. But it does look like Trevor Reed is the guy that they're hoping to rely on. And by all accounts, he's at least adequate at this point, which is a step up from the last half decade.
And the energy in this training camp is apparently off the charts. Jeff Hareholm said he went to one of them in Saskatoon and said he was impressed by the energy given by not only the coaching staff, but by the players as well. And we saw, and all the media was saying that on by day three, is that it's such a different vibe. And we knew that was going to be the case going in, but I think everybody's a little bit surprised by how different this camp is being run.
I got him. I check like everyone's videos, everyone who's there. Like Jamie Nye, obviously in Britain, I was watching theirs. I was watching Luke and replacement Greg, Dave Thomas talk about it. And then of course, Jeff Fairholm, replacement Steve, also talking about the energy there. Everyone is like, they are like the subtle shade or subtle bearing of Dave Dickinson's practices
Craig Dickinson.
Oh, Craig, sorry. Yeah, well, it could be Dave's too. I don't know. I've never seen a Dave Dickinson practice, but yeah, of Craig Dickinson's practices is like everyone's piling on at this point because every practice, like me and Steve were talking about it, every practice is this is the best practice I've ever seen. The next day, this is the best practice I've ever seen. Like every day is the best practice anyone has ever seen out of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So. Coach Mace has definitely inspired a lot of people right now.
And honestly, you take away the energy, which has been, by all accounts, off the charts. They've been lively. It's been fun. It's an event. But the biggest thing is the accountability. And he's instilling that from day one with this team. Like you do not step out of line on a Corey Mace field or you're going to see consequences. And we haven't seen that in a couple of years where guys felt safe
since Davis Reed
throwing their coach under the bus. You're not going to see that under Corey Mace.
And to add to that point, Steve, what I love is that he called it accountability. Everybody was calling it discipline after the first couple of days. And they asked him in the post practice scrum. And he said, it's not discipline. It's accountability. And then we found here in day four on Wednesday, after a fight broke out in practice, I think it was Habakkuk Baldonado actually threw a punch at an O lineman. Corey Mace got in there, stopped it, yelled at everybody, said that would be a penalty. You're going to hurt the team and that will get you ejected in a game. We do not do that on this team. We will not hurt this team by, you know, letting our emotions get the best of us. Made the team run sprints after that.
Entire team.
The whole team. Accountability. You're not going to hurt this team. You're not going to get away with it either. And that's not him, you know, doing a little dig at Craig Dickinson. That's just how he's going to coach. And that's what this team, this organization needs right now is accountability. And I'm just what I've been reading and what I've been hearing about from this camp. I absolutely love this.
Well, the accountability quote came from he made Bruno Labelle, who we do not talk about because we do not talk
about. We do Bruno. Not talk about no, Bruno. No Bruno.
Carry equipment bags.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's a punishment. It's accountability, yes, But we're talking, that is a grassroots up, coming up. Like, you screwed up, you grab the ball back. Let's go. These are pros. And well, he is making them accountable for everything they do. That's amazing.
And the thing I like about the fight and the sprints from day four, if you're a guy on the sidelines watching somebody have to run sprints because they threw a punch, you're going to forget about it in a minute. But if you and the entire rest of your roster has to run sprints every time somebody steps out of line, you're going to step in and stop it before it gets anywhere. Or you're going to be the guy that says, hey, I don't need to throw that punch. He's instilling that idea that it's not just about you. This is a team. From, again, from day one, I can't tell you how excited I am to see this team back in Regina, to maybe go to some of these practices. They sound like must-visit events again.
And the thing is, though, it's not training camp until Micah Johnson runs through the first guy. Apparently, as according to the prophecy, Micah Johnson, first time at one-on-ones, right through a guy. Like, that and, poor bastard who lined up against him.
And everyone's saying that he is looking good. And you have him and Lanier back to the middle, to the defensive tackle position. I don't want to say where he belongs, but, you know, where he
played better. Like,
played better, he can excelled a little bit more.
He's better as a tackle. He is better as a tackle.
And you can put those two guys in the middle together, and you can rotate maybe like a Miles Brown and Charbel DeBeer in there with them. Oh my goodness. That interior that was getting absolutely decimated by the run last year, that is not going to happen again.
I believe I heard it was Sevier he ran right through. Like, just knocked him out of his cleats.
There's a reason why everybody gets a double, or why everybody double teams Micah Johnson. Putting him one-on-one against anybody is not fair. That is a battle he will win 100% of the time with an arm tied behind his back. The guy is a machine.
And Sevier, actually, now that you mention him, Greg, not projected as a starter right now, at least in the interior of the O-line. We were thinking possibly right guard and Logan Ferlin at left guard, but Ferlin was playing the right guard position, and it was Phillip Blake at left guard. So, like, I don't know if that's going to be the plan going forward, and Sevier maybe as the sixth man, or if Blake's going to be the sixth man, or if somebody else is going to beat them out. I don't know. But the O-line, it seems like, as much as we could probably predict who's going to be the sixth O-line, I don't know who's going to start where, though, outside of Jamarcus Hardrick.
Well, and that's my issue with having four really good interior guys. Like, you know, Godber's our center.
Yeah.
So then you got Blake, Ferlin, and Sevier fighting for two spots. That's not good for your young talent, your Zers, your Fries, your guys you need to progress. You can't stash everybody on the practice roster. So they got to figure something out. There might be a surprising cut on that offensive line.
What an absolute change from, again, 2023, where we're going to be able to roll out a guy like Ryan Sevier or maybe a Phillip Blake as your sixth O-lineman, as opposed to feeling like you're playing your sixth O-lineman all across the board as we're getting bull rushed every play.
When we were starting Evan Johnson.
Yeah. Things are looking up in Ryderville. It's delightful.
The worst part is he actually started playing competent near the end of the last season.
He did, actually. Too bad it took him a couple seasons to figure it out, but by then it was too late. But who are you guys thinking is standing out? From what you're hearing, what you're reading, who's kind of a name? Like, Keen Schaefer-Baker had a good day four. He went up and basically just beasted a couple guys for catches. Okay, we know Keen Schaefer-Baker is going to stand out. That's what he does. Who is standing out to you guys from what you've seen or heard over the first few days of training camp?
I'm actually excited about Diego Feijoo. I'm hearing he's actually turning a lot of heads in that linebacker position. I don't know if that's going to actually get him as a starter, but if he can compete with a guy like TJ Brunson, I think that's where he's going to find his way. Like, if he can come out like Brunson and just kill someone on special teams and make a name for himself, he could work his way as a integral part of that defense and special teams.
I mean, this is going to sound like a Homer Packers fan pick, but I'm loving what I'm hearing out of Geronimo Allison. I really want to see him stick around. And yes, 80% of that is because he's a Packer, a former Packer. And I would love to interview the guy. And
isn't he also a former Lion? Like, come on.
Eh, that doesn't count. But like, I want to hear stories about how crazy Aaron Rodgers is in the locker room. Is he that same? But no, he, from what I've heard, he's performing well. The big one to me is Shea Patterson. I've heard quite a few positive stories about him. And on the flip side, maybe not such great things about Mason Fine. And it almost feels like Patterson is kind of working his way up that depth chart, which to me is a massive positive. I felt uncomfortable going into 2024 with Mason Fine as our, you know, our number two.
I'm not, don't get me wrong. And that's fine, I guess, for lack of a better term, but I'm not 100% sold on Shea Patterson after last year as well. Like, he was supposed to be the short yardage guy and he lost that in a hurry. So hopefully he came in this season more focused. There's still a giant question mark at that number two quarterback position, no matter what we say. Like, pray for the health of Trevor Harris, people. Like,
these
whatever deity you believe in, Thor, Rock, I don't care. Pray to it.
These two preseason games are going to go a long way in determining that. But it's funny because Steve, you say that Mason Fine was having bad or not looking so good, but then I go and I read that he had a great day four and he was making all the throws. He's a little bit leaner. And his arm strength is there. So it just, you know, it's up and down and up and down. And that's what's kind of the fun thing about training camp is that you could have a bad day, but then the next day you show up and maybe that's what wins you a job.
Well, look at last year's preseason game. We were like, oh, Mason Fine's looking good. He's got this locked in. And then Dolagala lights it up. And we're like, okay, they're not bad. And then Patterson lights it up. And we're like, who the hell are they going to cut? And they didn't cut any of them.
Well, and this year with Jack Cohn on the roster as quarterback, people are saying that he's not impressing the way that they were hoping. I still think that there's a spot for him on the practice roster going forward. Cause I don't think that there's a way that they can keep both Patterson and Fine. To me, that's unless Patterson can really grab hold of the short yardage and be the number three guy and Pipkin gets cut. But I just can't imagine that happening at this point right now.
Based on Pipkin's short yards last year, I don't see them going away from it. It's Fine or Patterson and one of them has to stand out. If not, they've got to go find someone else because woof.
One name that I'm glad to hear is standing out is a receiver taken late in this year's draft, Aju Aju. They're saying that the more and more that he, you know, gets the reps, the more and more he impresses. And everything about him just seems so smooth. Yeah, he tested, I don't want to say poorly, but didn't test as well as maybe he could have at the combine. But I personally only put so much stock in the combine.
I hate those tests. Like they're cosmetic at best.
Give me the one-on-ones. Can he beat a defensive back? Okay. I've seen guys fly in the 40, but if you can't run all the routes, that means nothing. If you can't get open, Don Narcisse, one of the greatest Canadian Football League players of all time, did not have a blazing 40, but the dude could run routes. He got open. And if you can do that, you're set.
Michael Bishop could kneel at the 55-yard line and throw the ball through the uprights with just his arms. Like, great cannon, terrible quarterback.
Anytime somebody brings up the idea that the combine will tell you your future, I look at a guy like Johnny Augustine. I remember when CFL week was in Regina and everybody was raving about his performance. He was the next big thing. He was going to be the guy. And we're, what, 5 years later, 6 years later, and...
You want to talk about bad combines and being great?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Tom freaking Brady, people.
Tom Brady needs to learn what a roast is. Because I still don't think he knows what a roast is.
My favorite is, and like, I'm never going to do it. My favorite part is, I'm never going to do it again. And I love Tom, like, obviously. But I'm never going to, no one does two roasts.
No
one does two roasts. There's no point in doing two roasts. All the jokes have already done.
You get mad at something Jeff Ross says?
Apparently,
show up for a roast and then everybody tells the comedians, oh, you can't make a joke about Robert Kraft. Come on.
And that's what, apparently going in, they were told they could not make a joke about Robert Kraft. So it's when Ross crossed the line, and Ross was the first one, which is even funnier, Tom put his foot down and was ready to shut the whole thing down on live Netflix, which would have been a crazy move. And Netflix would have lost a ton of money.
But still, go ahead, make fun of my ex-wife and everybody else. Oh, but don't do it to Robert Kraft. Come on.
That's where you draw the line.
And that was one of the better jokes, too.
That was a great joke.
Can't repeat it on this show.
No, we can't.
I don't think you can repeat anything from that entire live show on this show.
Probably not, actually.
No. Anyway. Who would be a good roast in the CFL? Oh, man.
Milt Stegall. Oh, Dunnigan.
Danny McManus, actually, would probably be a good one, too.
I could be on that day. I've got some Danny
right McManus right now. Pinball Clemens.
Ooh. Ooh. You know, okay, well, let's jump there. We'll talk more Riders because we got a preseason game to preview a little bit later on in the show. That's the opening kickoff presented by Kathy Festian of Roy LePage Regina Realty. Now to our Churchill Brewing Company odds and end zones. Okay, Steve, pinball, let's talk about it. this whole time with Chad Kelly, I was actually wondering where is Pinball Clemens in all this? Hasn't said a word. Chad Kelly shows up at rookie camp. Doesn't participate. Just standing around talking to guys. Not doing anything. He's doing what was allowed to him through the CBA and by the league. So in the sense that there was, I don't want to say legally, but contractually, nothing wrong with what he did. There was nothing wrong with what he did.
It was an optional event that he just showed up to.
Yeah.
It was not a CFL event. It was not technically, well, it was a team event, but by contract,
he was participating.
It was no different than you and I being there, except he was on the field, technically.
Yeah. But the optics of Chad Kelly being out on the field,
terrible,
awful, 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 awful. You would think a big conglomerate like MLSE would know better.
I have a feeling they did know better. He just showed up,
possibly. But MLSE
that would make it even worse.
Nothing. MLSE has still showed up.
If he still showed up and just said, I'm going anyways, to me, that's worse than MLSE just letting him out there, because then that tells me that everybody down the food chain has no control over the guy.
And that's when the team needs to suspend him, like actually suspend him.
Have you seen his social media?
Unfortunately.
Do you think they have control of what he does?
Jeez. Oh,
do you think he has control of what he does?
So
his entire Twitter feed reminds me of, was it Cam Judge that went off one night?
It definitely was.
Yeah.
Like
definitely was
his Chad Kelly's entire Twitter feed top to bottom reminds me of that one night of Cam Judge.
Yeah. Yeah. Cam Judge's worst night. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like an absolute dumpster fire of nonsense and subtle jabs at who knows who. Ugh.
So Pinball Clemens does a media scrum. Only for three people, though. It was Justin Dunk, Dave Naylor, and somebody else was there. This was not something that I think was planned. And I kind of feel bad for Pinball because you can tell, one, he wasn't comfortable, which I don't really care about. Sorry, that's kind of your role right now is to answer these questions. He read the scripted statement off the bat, and then when the reporter started asking him questions, he had no idea what he was supposed to say. And it ended up being just a wreck. And it got to the point where she had the Craig Dickinson defense, like Garrett Marino has a black wife. Like that we have women that work here. Okay, cool. Like that's not the point of this. And it got so ridiculous that, and I know people lost a lot of respect for Pinball here. I actually felt really bad for him because I don't think he was ready for this. I don't think he was prepared by MLSE, by the Argos organization, to say what he should have said. And it just, again, optics look so bad. And they're clearly putting winning games ahead of literally anything else. And I get it. Pro sports, you do that. Harrison Butker, look at his stupid comments the other day.
Oh, my Lord.
But he's a good kicker, so whatever.
Bless you, Chargers, for putting him in the kitchen in your Sims video.
But Pinball,
about Pinball, though, like you could tell he was given a crash course in talking points.
Yeah.
You say this, and that's it. And when he kept on getting peppered, he didn't know where to go to.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. He wasn't ready.
No, and that's why if you're going to do that, you don't do it on the sidelines of the field. You have a podium, and then you can control what's coming in. But if you're just going to stand there with no one telling the reporters that's enough, unfortunately, at some point, it's like, we have plenty of women that work here. I have a mother. I was like, no, like when you're going, I know a woman. That is a problem. Like you're not winning any argument then. It's too late.
The problem I have with his scrum and why I kind of deviate from the feel bad for him is it went from a couple of quick statements about what happened to basically 10 minutes of corporate jargon, like good enough isn't good enough and things like that, which I hate when you have to stoop to that level to try and get your point across. But the worst ones to me were the comments, we're not here to talk about that today. We're not here to talk about that today. And he said that 4, 5, 6 times when people were asking questions about the situation that we were here to talk about. And I get it. He had a very small list of potential comments he could make. But then you say, you know, we're not ready to discuss that portion or, you know, I've been advised not to comment on that. Not we're not
an ongoing legal matter. We're not going to that type of thing.
There was a easier way to do it than to just constantly repeat. We're not here to talk about that. Followed by the corporate jargon, and there was so many, and it was so frustrating.
And that's my point. That's my point is he should have been in a controlled situation at a podium, and then it's okay. That's all I'm saying, and walk out. When you're on a sideline and you've got nowhere to go, unless you're going to be videotaped running the other way across the field very awkwardly, what are you going to do?
Where's Keith Pelly? Keith Pelly should be there with Pinball doing this. That's the president of MLSE, Maple Leaf Sport and Entertainment. This is a guy who's probably well-versed at giving standard comments to questions, even if you don't want to answer them. You give a little bit and then you shut the door on it. And as awful as that is to watch and listen to as a fan, that's what the organization needs to do. So
PR 101, that is
they're just, it's, and that's the worst part is it's such basic stuff in the world of PR and they're just blowing it. Like it's so bad. And the Argos have a media relations social media team. So they tweeted out that Chad Kelly won't be participating in team activities. Okay. there's not a team statement on it. It's just coming from the media relations social media account. Then on Wednesday, they put him on the suspended list, but not really. They retracted that after that he hasn't been suspended by the team, but he is staying away from the team. And again, it's just palm to forehead. Like, guys, just it's just a massive fail all around by the CFL, by the Toronto Argonauts, especially how this is all being handled. And like, if this guy isn't, if Kelly's not going to appeal this, just say that you're going to accept the suspension and that's it and move on. And we're going to focus on the guys that are available for, to play for us right now. That's it. We're not answering any other questions about Chad Kelly because he's not currently with the team. When he comes back in August against the Riders, you can talk about it then. But until then, we're done. That's all they have to do. That's all the team has to do. And just keep Kelly away. You can still have him in the building because the CBA still allows him to do stuff with the team. But do not bring him out to the practice field. Do not bring him out to anywhere that a other media person might be. Just keep him sheltered.
And with that, there's such a simple out for the team. There is a pending legal matter. We will not discuss it. He's not here. Move on. Simple, cut and dried. But they have managed to bungle this up from start to finish, or start to the midpoint. I can't wait to see where they bungle it up next, because every step they've taken along the way has managed to make this situation worse. From not releasing a media point when the lawsuit came out, to having him on the practice field, to the CFL and their weird, we're looking for details on this report that they had to make public. Like, that's the one that was odd to me, where the CFLPA is publicly requesting this report. Like, no, do that behind closed doors. Just, this needs to be out of the limelight. We need to be focusing on the preseason coming up, on the regular season, and on the players that will suit up for the Toronto Argonauts and the rest of the roster, or the rest of the CFL.
But I got to admit, though, I really love the fact that the women of the CFL are stepping up. Like, obviously, Christina Costabile, with the league, put out her own statement,
yeah,
which apparently Jim Barker thinks she should get fined for, which...
Good on the league for...
Let her speak her mind.
Letting her do that, but not, you know, disallowing that, right? Like, that is a good thing. That's a very good thing. Like, and yeah, don't get me started on Jim Barker.
Like, oh, no,
No. No. Not this time. Dinosaur. Maybe he'll do another stupid thing this week, and we can talk about it next week.
There you go. Like, it's... This is a... I understand it's hard to talk about stuff like this, but it needs to be said, because I'm about to get on a soapbox here. As proven by Westhead's report of the Blackhawks yet again with another scandal with women in their organization being harassed and assaulted, like, the old time days of sports is a man's thing and we can do whatever we want because we're men. No, that's garbage. I almost swore. It's gone. Like, we have a lawsuit about to go into full gear with Team Canada Hockey. That stuff is in the past, people. Like, sports is for everybody. Sports should be a safe place for everybody. Doesn't matter what. And the fact that some guys still think it's, oh, I'm an alpha male, garbage. If I keep on going, I'm going to start swearing. So I'm going to stop.
All right. Well, we'll go to a different suspension then, Sean Lemon randomly showed up.
Oh, I was worried about this one. I'm going to have fun with this one.
No, you're not. You got to keep his name out your mouth.
Yeah, God Sean bless. Lemon. Back on the field with the Montreal Alouettes and is appealing his indefinite ban for gambling. Apparently, he also unretired as well, too, to be able to join the team.
Yeah, no one mentioned that.
Yeah, no one mentioned that. Yeah. What do you guys... The CFL, Randy Ambrosi, put out a pretty strong statement saying, obviously, the integrity of the game is the most important thing, which I agree with. But they're going to, like, vigorously fight this. I'm like, okay. Like, I've never seen a media statement by the CFL with that kind of, you know, I don't want to say aggressiveness, but they were pretty strong in their convictions about it. And this is just over a guy who, was gambling overseas, on an overseas app, basically, in a game he was in before single game betting was legalized in Canada. And before there was really XYZ rules put in place, as you pointed out, Greg, it's a very broad rule.
It's very broad. Cause you, going behind the scenes, we have our chat and we're talking about it, and they're right. There was no specific rule put in the gambling until 2022. This was from 2021. Yep. However, in the CBA in 2019, and I quote, "For the maintenance of discipline, the commissioner shall have the power to fine an amount not exceeding $25,000, suspend, fine, and suspend any player, coach, employee, official, or team executive for breach of any requirement of the Constitution, bylaws, regulations, or any proper orders for conduct, actions, behavior that, in the opinion of the commissioner, brings disrepute to the league or the game of football." That is, you could drive a truck through that. That is so broad. And because we were talking about it, because I'm like, after Pete Rose, there has to be an integrity clause. This is the closest thing the CFL had, and it was put in 2019. Randy Ambrosi has the ability to do whatever the hell he wants to Sean Lemon for betting on his own team. Doesn't matter if he won or lost. That is a problem. And Sean Lemon should know that.
There's not a single pro athlete out there alive right now that doesn't know that you can't bet on your own games. Not even your own games, your own league. If you are playing in the NBA, you don't bet on the NBA. Technically, you're not supposed to sports bet at all, but I can understand if a guy is throwing money down on hockey. Who cares? But the moment you put money down on your own league, or even more specifically, on your own team, whether it's to win or lose, you throw the integrity of that game out the window. Now, I appreciate that Sean Lemon was betting on himself. Good for him. If you're going to bet on a game you're in, I hope you'd at least bet on yourself to succeed, but you can't do that. And that is a known rule. That has been in existence, like you said, since Pete Rose. The CFL cannot allow this to be a successful appeal. There can be no, it just can't. They cannot lose that appeal. I don't care what rule they have to take. Sean Lemon, if he bet on a CFL game that he was in, should not see a CFL field again, period.
My favorite part of this was, like, people were trying to go, well, it's not that big a deal. And it's like, well, no, it is.
Like, the integrity of the game is probably the most important thing.
Like, and there's people trying to conflate it with the Chad Kelly. And I've already, like, apparently I've already made my case about Chad Kelly here. So I agree that guy should never see the field again. But, and the fact that Randy Ambrosi came out so strong but didn't say anything about Chad Kelly, there's a difference. There's a legal matter.
Yes.
At hand, where the facts have not been proven out. They obviously have the facts proven on Sean Lemon betting on games to the point where Sean retired, hoping it would just quietly go away after re-signing with the Alouettes. And that's why they just joke, like, oh, all of a sudden he just unretired? No. He retired to avoid this coming out publicly. He knows what he did is wrong. And he goes, if I retire, maybe I'll just go away. No, league still put out a statement on it anyway. So he's like, screw it. I'm gonna fight it now. But I don't know how he can.
Random question for you, because I have to ask, and because you mentioned Pete Rose earlier. Sean Lemon, by all accounts, has had a Hall of Fame CFL career. I don't think many could argue that. If he was found to be betting on CFL football on games he was in, should he be eligible for the Hall of Fame?
As me and Sean Lemon are very close friends.
Very close.
Very close. He DMs me every once in a while. Honestly, I believe this about Pete Rose. I think for his, I think the all-time hits leader should be in the Hall of Fame. I really do. Because we've hit the point where the steroid era guys are going in. So if you want to talk about affecting the league, how can you say that about them, allow them in, but not Pete Rose? So, Sean Lemon, put an asterisk beside it. I don't care. But his career as a player is not affected by the fact that he put down, what, $100 on the Stampeders to win and they still lost. And if that's all they can prove, so be it.
But then where do you draw that line? What's the limit? On what, obviously, a single bet and you should be removed from the league as a player, no questions asked. But where is the limit on your eligibility for the Hall of Fame? Because you say, oh, you put $100 down on the stamp, who cares?
Well, I look at it this way, and this is the, call it the Charles Barkley school of thought. These men are not role models.
No.
You honor what they've done at the sport they've chosen to do. Ty Cobb, by all accounts, giant,
horrible human being.
Horrible human being. Hall of Fame. I like Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame if Ty Cobb is.
Yeah.
So the fact remains is you're not honoring them as people. You're honoring their achievements. Don't get me wrong. I'm never going to say Chris Benoit should make the WWE Hall of Fame. What he did is beyond the pale. But I can kind of appreciate what he did in the ring. Can't stand him as a man. I can't watch any of his matches anymore.
Yeah, knowing what happened.
Yeah. But the fact remains is I understand what he did in the ring is separate from what he did as a person after the fact. So you kind of have to draw the line is what Sean Lemon has done on the field is separate from what he did after. And if you want to punish that, that's up to the commissioner. That's up to the voters. That's, well, it's not even up to the commissioner. The Canadian Football Hall of Fame is done by writers and its own commission.
Yeah, it's not owned by the league or anything.
So.
But can we please stop comparing the Chad Kelly situation and the Sean Lemon situation?
Please. Apples and oranges. They're not even remotely the same.
The only similarity is that they were both suspended this offseason. That is it. It ends there.
All right. Well, let's get back to on the field stuff here. Talking riders. For the first time in 7 months, we get to look forward to a game because the first preseason game is this upcoming Monday on Victoria Day, May 20th, 2 p.m. Mosaic Stadium. I hope you have tickets or you're watching on CFL Plus because the game will not be on TV. TSN is only putting
it's free
what,
on two? CFL Plus.
It's streaming on CFL Plus. But it's not going to be, yeah, for free. But TSN is only doing 1 day of preseason coverage because they don't want to have their panel work more than 1 day in the preseason, basically. But Riders and Bombers this upcoming Monday. First off, what are you guys looking forward to the most out of this preseason game?
Tailgate beers.
Oh,
being back in the stadium, that first game back is, I don't care if it's preseason or not. It's funny, in my regular day job, I was out with a guy. He flew in from Calgary last night and he's like, your stadium is amazing. Like, he drove by it last night when he got it. Never seen it before. And he's like, yeah, McMahon. I'm like, oh, I know. It's a POS. I get it.
When you're used to McMahon, Libel Field is, I mean, Libel Field's a nice field, but.
Oh, Libel Field's a beautiful facility.
But Libel Field is amazing compared to McMahon Stadium.
Yeah. Like, he's like, I cannot believe there's a stadium like that, like, in a, like, a community this small in Calgary. And I'm like, well, yeah. So, yeah, like, that stadium blows me away every time I go walking. What I'm actually looking forward from the Riders, I want to know how this quarterback battle is going to shake out. Like, that's like, has Shea Patterson actually stepped it up? Will Mason Fine, like, the Riders had huge hopes of Mason Fine, especially considering that Dalagala walk. So let's see what happens here.
My bet is Trevor Harris wins the starting job. I know it's good really call, going Steve. Out on a limb there.
Good, going good out call, on a limb. Steve.
Don't get his jersey though, Steve. Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did you just jinx him?
No.
I'm telling you now, Steve. If something happens in this preseason game, you are not. You better not be on this episode next week.
I kind of have a cop out answer because I have five things that I'm kind of looking forward to. One is obviously left tackle. To me, that's the position. That's the one single position, and this goes beyond like the defensive backs, because that's five positions, right? This is the one position that I'm really going to be looking on. Who comes out first? Is it Trevor Reed? Does he play with the starters? How long does he stay with them? Does he stay until unit two is out and the backups start coming in, or is he just one and done with the starters? Who's in next? Who plays better? Like, to me, that's the big one that I'm going to be watching this upcoming Monday. And then, of course, the backfield. But I think they're going to be throwing so many guys around in the defensive backfield and putting them in different positions. And they're going to let that, like the tape, like they use tape anymore, the digital copies. That's what they're going to look at immediately after the game and see who played best, where they played best. And I think that's how we're going to find the defensive backfield. But overall, especially after seeing what they've done in the first 4 days of training camp, hearing about the energy and how different of a vibe it is, I'm looking forward to seeing that energy translate into a game. Are these guys just giving it their all the entire time? Are the starters giving it their all to prove that they should be starters? Because with a new regime, you don't really know, really. So you kind of have to prove yourself all over again. Are these guys coming out and are they just putting in the motions, or are they actually really going for it? That's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
For me, the big one, I mean, you can look at the quarterback battle, the O-line. Those are the clear and they're the sexy picks. I'm excited to see that 3 through 5 receiver spot. You know, we know that the Sean Baines and the, you know, guys like Jarris Stern have a leg up, but your Canadian receivers, they've all shown what they can do. We know what to expect from them, but I want to see what some of these new crop of receivers can do. And I hope they get a lot of time with the number one unit. Cause I want to see some cohesiveness there. And I just want to see somebody step up, somebody new. That's I realize that wide receiver is just as sexy a position as the others, but to me, that's a spot that they just need one more piece to really put them over the top. And I'm excited to see who wins that battle, because we're seeing a lot of names coming out of the first 4 days of camp of guys that are stepping up in camp that are looking great. Your Geronimo Allisons, your Azu's, even the other, Duncan?
Busby.
The other Canadian. Oh, Busby. Thank you. Yep. Like, you've seen great things about all of the Canadian guys coming in. I just want to see them all out on the field. That's the position I tend to watch for more often than not, is, you know, your running back, which we know AJ Willett's our starter, and your wide receiver. So that's the fun spots for me. That's the spot I will be concentrating more on than anywhere else, is see who shines.
Like, and I also understand that it's a preseason game and they're not going to have their full offense in. I'm curious what Mark Mueller dials up here. under his own power. Like what is this offense going to be? Obviously, it's going to be a smash mouth if you signed AJ Ouellette. That running game is going to be hard blocking, hard running. So I'm curious what this is going to look like.
It sounds like it's going to be a lot of tempo, quick passes, rhythm, get the ball out. And I think take your shots when it sounds so cliche, but you set up the long ball by doing the short ball, right? So I think we're going to see, maybe not necessarily in the preseason game, but I think that's what we'll start seeing in the regular season week one is a lot of tempo, a lot of quick passes, get the balls to your playmakers. Don't rely on, Trevor Harris isn't a mobile guy, never has been. Don't keep him in the pocket too long. Keep him comfortable, right? Like, I think that's going to be the main focus of the offense this year. And of course, yeah, running the ball with AJ. I'm kind of curious how Corey Mace is going to do. First time in control of the entire team, not just a positional unit or, the defense, just half the team, right? So and especially with a bloated roster, like a preseason game, the first preseason game, 75 guys plus non-counters. So how many of these guys are actually going to be on the field? 80, 85 players. How is he going to control those guys? And is he going to be the same guy that we saw in Toronto when the defense gets an interception that he's, up there high-fiving them and chest bumping and everything too, because now he's the head coach. He's got to automatically flip to the other side of the ball right after that interception, right? So just the growing transition of going from a coordinator to a head coach, low-key, I'm kind of just going to kind of paying attention to that as it goes. I'm just interested in that. I think that's going to be something fun to watch.
Sticking on the coaching side, from Mark Mueller's point of view, the one thing I really want to see is excitement beyond the first game of the year. I remember being super excited about our offense last year after that awesome goal line play in Edmonton. And I thought, this is it. We finally are against Edmonton. We finally got an offense that's going to do some fun things. We're going to, keep guys guessing. And then it became the most vanilla offensive playbook since Belfay. It's just, I'm really hoping that Mueller can keep things exciting beyond that first game out of the gate.
Hey, what I really want to know is AJ Ouellette going to come out swinging the hammer? When they interest the riders, is the hammer coming out with them?
I think that'll he might do it this one, but for sure, I think that's the beginning of week one, like home game, regular season game one. That's his time to shine.
We got a quick touch on it. TSN, that interview he did with Kate Burnett. I hope TSN does more stuff like that.
Yeah.
That was amazing. That was a great interview. It was fun. She gave him one of the stuffed hammers. And even admitted, like, yeah, they started making these things 2 years ago and they couldn't sell them until they signed me.
Yeah.
Well, remember, somebody told us that was collusion, that was our plan to sign him before it happened.
Yeah. 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And the fact remains is, and also, go back. I'm not going to blow up where he lives, but I can't believe he name checked where he's living this summer. Does he not know this market?
I know a few people that'll just be peeking over the
doing the Wilson over the
gates. Yeah,
how peeking over know, the gates. AJ?
He's about to find out what Rider Nation is all about.
The good and the bad.
but I'm looking forward to Monday, the first preseason game. Normally, I actually care if the team wins or loses, especially because they lost, 15 straight going into last year. And then they won both their preseason games. And I was excited about that because they lost for so long that even winning a meaningless game still means something. I'm back to the point where I don't care. I don't care if they lose this. I just want to see the compete level back with this team in the preseason. And I'll care about wins and losses starting in week one.
Show me fire. Show me you want to be here.
Yes.
That is the one thing that really annoyed me at the tail end of last year. There was guys you could tell were not trying. Well,
they didn't have to because they knew they were still going to get a paycheck the next week because they weren't going to get cut because the coach had no balls to do it.
Because he loved them. All you had to do was love them harder.
What a save.
I look back to that George Reed, the game after he passed away, and the
absolute I am glad I was not there in person. I would have punched somebody.
It was worse than you think it was. There was maybe one or two guys that were on that field that seemed to care, and the rest were just going through the motions. And I feel like we will not see that.
No.
Even in preseason, we aren't going to see that from this roster. This is going to be a group that is at 100%, or you're going to be out of a job, or at least carrying the equipment bags after practice.
Oh, I just realized what I'm actually really looking forward to in this game is anytime the Riders are on defense, especially to start the game, because I don't expect Zach Kolaros to be playing very much. Chris Streveler.
Can I offer a six-pack of Churchill to the first player that sacked them?
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I might
have to throw that up on Twitter. First Rider player that sacks them. There's a six or a Churchill beer on it for you.
And also, thank you for being such a big supporter and fan of the CFL and myself personally.
I'm really glad that you guys mute the mics when you play that video. Otherwise, you would hear not nice things every damn time you play that.
Best money we ever spent, Alex. Best money we ever spent.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The best part is we conned Steve into paying a third of that.
We did, actually. The joy of being three equal partners is if two of us say we're doing it, third one has to come along.
This is a PSA to the CFL family. Never tell people the things you don't like. Never do it. You will never hear the end of it.
Ever. Well, preseason game this Monday. The off season's over. Training camps. Everything's real now. I'm looking forward to it. Kickoff for real in a few weeks. But I'm looking forward to getting out to. Hopefully, it's a nice day at the stadium because it's May long, right? So I mean, it's probably going to snow at some point somewhere in Saskatchewan. It's supposed to kind of rain a little bit, but hopefully, it's a nice day at the park. And we can just enjoy being there. And I mean, obviously we don't take the game so seriously. Obviously the players do, but just enjoy being at the stadium for the first time. And then, cause it's going to be another month until we're there for the home opener. So I'm just looking forward to getting back out there.
I love CFL scheduling intricacies. Here's a very early preseason game. And then, don't see your first game for a while.
Yeah. So.
Hey, we've made it through the wilderness, people. Let's effing go. Like, I am excited. Like, we've made it through the off season.
There we go. Biffles Podcast brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Special thanks, of course, go out to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty, Churchill Brewing Company, and Chris Streveler for their support making this show possible.
We support him.
Yes. Steve supports him specifically.
Yeah.
Financially as well too. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching on Sastel Max TV on demand. We appreciate it. We leave you as always with Greg singing.
That goes behind.
That worked again.
Yeah, there you go.
Tyler Gilbert.
All right. Goes behind your mind.
That goes behind your mind.